Joining us now from Ukraine, Joseph Lindsley. Joe, I have a way to end this war. Not in 24 hours, but if Ukraine can take out those Russian oil reserves, it would further cripple Moscow's economy, and that might be an incentive for Putin to negotiate. I know he wouldn't admit his economy is hurt. He'd probably try to paint himself as a malevolent leader who cares, but so what? If he negotiates, maybe it could lead to an end in peace. What do you think about my plan?
Well, I think there's a lot to this plan, Bob. Ukrainians have used at various times in the past year drones to hit Russian oil refineries, and each time that happens, they get kind of told off by Washington. You're not allowed to touch the oil, and oil still passes through Ukraine to Europe. Ukrainians have cut some of it off to Hungary and Slovakia, countries that have been sort of allies of Russia in some ways. But generally, Europe is still using Russian gas and oil. India is, despite all the sanctions, India has actually become a big customer of Russia because they've stayed more neutral in this. And so oil is the fuel of the Russian economy. And that's why, in many ways, Russia's not suffering. And so as long as that is permitted, as long as the oil is permitted to flow from Russia and the money can come into Russia, and as long as Ukraine does not have permission, which is a big debate now in Washington and in capitals in Europe, permission to hit the Russians back. If those things don't happen, there's really no way to break such a powerful machine. Ukrainians can do what they've done, hold on and continue to bleed out. But some things have to change. And I'm talking to you right now. I have the great blue sea behind me, but it's called the Black Sea. But on a beautiful sunny day like today, it's blue. And it's called, I'm in a town called Chornomorsk. It's a seaside town outside of Odessa. This does have one, I think it's the biggest port on the Black Sea in any country. And it's a little bit more laid back here. You can feel the sea breeze outside of the big city. And everything seems like a pleasant day. But, as I look at the sea behind me, in the times of the ancient Greeks, the Greeks were exploring the very beach right behind me thousands of years ago. And in the Greek legends, Homer and Odysseus came to these very shores in all those great stories. So it's a place deep in history, but then there's history being made here. And even just last night, about 2:30 in the morning, there was a Star Wars happening right over these waters, over Odessa, over the place from which I speak to you. We had reports around midnight of swarms of Iranian-made Russian drones flying over the Black Sea in what was described as chaos. They were turning every different direction at every different moment to confuse Ukrainian air defense. And about 2:30 in the morning in Odessa, I heard the first explosion. And then it was about 20 minutes of very intense Star Wars, a very intense fight in the skies over Odessa. You had the red flares of the air defense flying over the neoclassical buildings, the beautiful opera house and the beautiful neoclassical buildings of the leafy city of seaside Odessa. So these red flares flying in an attempt to shoot down the Russian drones that were coming at the city from every possible direction. And so everyone in the city saw stuff, they heard stuff, and it seems that the air defense did work quite well. But it was the most intense battle over Odessa in many months. And as this, we also, at the port that from which I'm speaking to you, behind me, there was a ship, an Egyptian ship that left the port a few days ago. And, the Ukrainians have made the Black Sea pretty safe for cargo transport. And so there's a lot of commerce happening. In fact, as much grain is now being sent from Ukraine as was before the war, before the big war. And there was a ship from Egypt that left. And the Russians, according to President Zelensky's office and other sources, the Russians attacked it with a cruise missile. We're still waiting for more information on it, but the Russians hit a civilian Egyptian-flagged ship that was traveling to the Black Sea. And so it still is obviously a dangerous place. And, as we look at the big, when I woke up after 2 hours of sleep, after the barrage of drones, I saw the barrage of headlines today about Putin talking about red lines. Because, we have all the movement now for Washington to give permission to the United Kingdom to give permission to Ukraine to use British and French weapons to hit the places in Russia from which Russia attacks Ukraine. And here you really do see the power of America. America control, you know, even though the United Kingdom really wants to give these missiles, America really holds the keys. They control it, even though it's not their weapons. And but as you with the there's so much chatter about these missiles coming here that does give Russia time to prepare. And Putin is making new threats today. You know, he's threatening, you know, he loves his favorite word, the nuclear word. And he says that this will be a red line. And as I read all the headlines and stories, you know, I see the word escalation everywhere, including from the Pentagon spokesperson. That, you know, they say they're worried about escalation. And, you know, but no one is really doing an analysis. If you look at all the red lines that Ukrainians have crossed, Putin's red lines that they've crossed, you know, no one mentions that. But there's like at least 18 very specific red lines, including that if Ukrainians use any American weapons on Russian soil, like the HIMARS, Putin said he was going to go nuclear and go crazy. Well, that happened in May. And, you know, what we saw is Ukraine got stronger and Russia got weaker. Putin said if you attack his Navy in the Black Sea, you know, he's going to go, you know, you're crossing the red line. Well, that Navy is gone. You know, the only threat are the drones and the planes that fly over there. But the Navy is gone. In fact, I was talking with people in this town today. And, you know, in 2022, the Russian ships were approaching. You know, they were preparing to invade. And so all these red lines of Putin have been crossed. And now when we see the UK pushing, and it seems maybe Washington will give this permission to let Ukraine use these amazing, precise Storm Shadow missiles. You know, I just would encourage people to have this perspective of the red lines that have been crossed. And one very important voice, Victoria Spartz, she was born in Ukraine. She's a congresswoman from Indiana. She's voted against Ukraine funding. She's not really well loved here. But she did make a strong point saying if the U.S. is going to give this permission, they better be ready to give Ukraine more weapons, because once you start hitting Moscow in a big way, Moscow is going to, you know, try to hit back. And so the big contention is from someone like Congresswoman Spartz, you know, does the Biden administration have a plan, or is everything going to be piecemeal? And, you know, I think a lot of people, Bob, think the government is super well organized and people have it together. My experience, what I saw in New York and Washington and what I see here in the war, everyone is sort of scrambling at the last minute while Ukrainians are trying to hold the line. And so these are difficult, chaotic days, just like those chaotic drones that were flying over our heads last night.
I believe it. Well, the other day, reporters asked President Biden if he would lift the geographic restrictions, and he said, we're working that out right now. So I think there's hope for my plan, Joseph.
Hey, Bob, your plan would solve things a lot more quickly, and it's the very thing that the powerful people don't want to touch.
We'll hope for peace this weekend, at least for you, Joseph. Thank you very much, as usual.
I'm going to go jump in the sea, and hopefully I don't get meet a drone.
Yeah, all right, get some R&R. You deserve it.